I'm starting a new series today called Together at the Table. That's why you see this big round table up here and all. And so we're going to be using it as an illustration here some. And I am so excited about this new series because I know it's going to impact your life in a great, in a very positive way and all. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Glory to God. Where is Melissa? I don't see Melissa. Maybe she's not here today. How many of you had a great time at our tailgate party? Wasn't it fun? It was fun. I wanted to let you know, like I let the first service know, that it was Melissa's idea. And then Pastor, I wanted to give her credit this morning, but I don't see her here right now. But Pastor Justin and Kayla kind of planned it all out for after she gave us the idea, and they did a great job. I think we're going to do it every year, every Wednesday after Easter, we're going to do this tailgate party because it was a blast, man. It was a lot of fun. So praise God for that, amen. And so I thank all of you that are able to attend. Sure, good to have you. I'm starting a new series today. Again, on relationships, together or at the table. And we're going to be talking about relationships because how many of you every day relationships affect your life? We're going to be talking about your relationships with your family, in a marriage. And so if you're single out there, you still need to be here for the one-on marriage, okay? Because one day you might decide to get married. And if you're you're divorced and you're like, I am not doing that again, all right, you never know. God could change your heart, but there might be somebody in your life that needs the message and what we're talking about in marriage when it comes up. So when we're talking about marriage, it doesn't mean if you're not married, you don't need to be here. You need to be here to hear that message because it's very, very good, and you never know who you might use. It might help somebody in your life, and it might help you one day. We're going to be talking about your relationship with your kids, okay? I've never done a series on relationships in this way. In fact, I had a series already planned called Toxic, and I want to sit on it for a while. I just felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to go toward this thing of relationships because all of us have relationships in our life every single day. And, of course, our most important relationship is with God. Amen? That's our most important relationship. But it's like I heard it said before, okay? I heard it. In fact, it was this last week I was preparing for this series. And I heard a pastor say this, and I don't remember his name. I'd never heard or seen him before. But he said it like this when it's talking about relationships. He says, maturity is not a relationship with God because God is perfect. Maturity is a relationship with others because we're imperfect. Amen. That's how you grow and mature, is your relationship with other people. Not necessarily with God, because God's perfect. God will never do you wrong. But have you ever had somebody do you wrong? A person? See, that's where maturity comes in. But our most important relationship is with God. But yet, God's called us to have relationship with one another and be in relationship with one another. In fact, the road to your destiny involves relationships. Shall I say that again? The road to your destiny involves relationships. Many, many years ago, let me flip it around and say it this way, okay? You will not get to your destiny without healthy relationships in your life. All I need is God is not true. All I need is God is not true. Or God wouldn't have looked at Adam and said, it's not good that man be alone. Because Adam had a perfect relationship with God. And God said, you know what? That's not enough. God's called us to have healthy relationships with one another as well. That's the road to our destiny. Several years ago, this is probably between 9 and 10 years ago, I want to say, that my son, Justin, Pastor Justin, with the kids, was a student at Christ for the Nations in Dallas. And there was a season when I was going to see him. We were pastoring down in Southeast Texas, and I was going to see him. And there was one particular day, well, it was 2 days that I was on campus visiting with him, and I know the people there. And I kept running into this man by the name of Dr. John Holler. I mean, everywhere I went on campus, there he was. He'd walk out a door, and there he is. And then I'd go somewhere else on campus. I'd be walking around, and then he'd walk out a door. I'd walk out a door, and there he is. And so finally, one day, Dr. Holler looks at me and says, it happened like four or five times that day, and he just looks at me and says, "What do you want?" I was not stalking him. I mean, I wasn't. I was just going on campus and in different places. And he finally looked at me and he said, "What do you want?" And it just came out of my mouth without even thinking about it. I said, "I want you to be my pastor." And he said, "Okay." And from that point on, we developed a relationship. And he was a spiritual father in my life. And we had a good, healthy relationship. Well, how did I get to what was then a Regeneration Church and is now Encounter Church? It was through that relationship right there. That I got to this place, because I didn't know one single person in this church when our family came here. I didn't know one person. I didn't know one elder. I didn't know the former pastors. I'd never met them before in my life. I didn't know Jim. I didn't know Tony. I didn't know Joanne. I didn't know any of the elders. Not one single person. But what got me here was my relationship with Dr. John Holler, because I knew him. And the former pastors knew Christ for the Nations, and they called the school. And it happened that somehow he was the director of Christ for the Nations at that time, and somehow it ended up on his desk. And he says, "I know a guy named Ken Wolf that's looking for a church to pastor." And he calls me up and tells me about the church. How did we get here? Through relationship. Through relationship. Healthy relationship. The destiny that God has for you, the road to your destiny is filled with relationships. And God wants those relationships to be healthy relationships. As I read earlier, Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." I'm not talking about marriage today. As I mentioned, we will get there, but Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says this: "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Everybody say one. Come on, let's say it again. One flesh, everybody, one flesh. One flesh. Those of you at home, you know, say it. Your dog might think you're weird talking to yourself, but one flesh. One flesh. He said, God, and here's what God does. God takes two and makes them one. You need to get that. God takes two and makes them one. Can I say that again, everybody? Everybody? God takes two and makes them one. I need to say that again. God takes two, makes them one. Look at your neighbor and say, "God takes two and makes one." What's God's desire for your relationships? John chapter 15, verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That's his desire, is that there be love. It doesn't mean your relationships will be absent of conflict. Sometimes to have health in a relationship, you need conflict. But you need healthy conflict to get there. All right? You need healthy conflict to get to that place of having a healthy relationship. And so it's important for you and me to understand that God wants us to have healthy relationships. He wants us to have a healthy marriage. He wants us to have a healthy relationship with our kids. He wants us to have a healthy relationship with our employer. God wants us to have a healthy relationship if we have a business with our employees. God wants us to have a healthy relationship with our kids if we're parents or grandparents. God desires for us to have healthy relationships. God wants there to be healthy relationships in the church. Everybody say amen. He wants there to be healthy relationships, because that's who he is. He's a God of love. And he said love. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 14, the Bible says, "Let all that you do be done with love." Let all that you do be done with love, all right? God wants, and again, I'm not speaking specifically toward marriage today. God wants every marriage to be one. That's his desire. A man will leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one. And by the way, let me just interject this. When a man marries a woman, he's not supposed to marry her family. He doesn't marry her family. Or that woman, when she leaves her family, she doesn't marry his family. They become one family, a separate family. Well, that's for the marriage one. Listen, you could throw about a dollar extra into the offering for that little right there. You know, Paul in the New Testament used the church, when he's talking about marriage, he used the church to help illustrate the marriage. And so we're going to do that as well. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, he's talking to the people there in the church, local church. He says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Here's a novel idea, that there not be missiles flying in our home. That our relationships be in harmony. Amen? Do you really believe that you can have harmony in your relationships? Do you really believe that? That you can get along with other people? And that you can have unity and harmony in your relationships? That's what God's desire is. It's for there to be harmony. Why? Because God is a God of love. And again, there's conflict sometimes to get to that place of harmony and unity in our relationships and one. But God wants you and me to have healthy relationships because that's the road to our destiny. Through relationships, through healthy relationships. And some of us, let me just say it this way. This is going to sound a little bit strong, all right? Some of us are going to bed with our spouse, not alone, okay, with just our spouse. We've been going to bed with strife, too. And strife sleeps with us, with our spouse. Why am I saying all this today? Because today I'm opening up this series with what destroys relationships. What destroys relationships, all right? Because the Bible says that in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he does. He steals, he kills, he destroys. That's what he wants to do in your life. That's what he wants to do in my life. But it goes on to say this, what does Christ want? I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I mean, could it be that by God's design, he wants us to really enjoy our life and our relationships? Could it be that we can enjoy one another? Could it be that we could enjoy our marriage? Could it be that we could enjoy our kids? Could it be that God wants us to enjoy even going to work and enjoy relationship with our employer, our employees, our family? Could it be that it's God's heart and God's desire for us to enjoy our spouse? Could it be that God wants us and desires us to have fun in church and the church not be a place that we're firing missiles at one another? Could it be? It could. Thank you, Chuck. Glory to God. I mean, see, Chuck's listening and he's got hearing aids. Come on. I love Chuck, man. Could it be that he wants us to have abundant life in our relationships? Could it be that that's God's plan? But we're going to talk about what destroys relationships today. And again, you're going to see me saying this more and more, no stones. Come on, everybody, hold up your hand like this if you can. No stones. We don't throw stones, okay? So if you've been divorced, if you've been through a struggle in relationships, no stones, no guilt, no condemnation. Our desire is to help you from this point on have healthy relationships in your life and to enjoy relationships in your life, okay? Everybody ready? Ask your neighbor if they're ready. So what do you need to know to have healthy relationships? Number one, you need to know this. The enemy's agenda is destruction. The enemy wants to destroy your relationships. That's his agenda. That's what he does. He's very good at it. He wants to destroy the relationship. He wants to destroy a marriage. He wants to destroy a relationship between you and your kids. That's the enemy's agenda. Kids, he wants to destroy a relationship between you and your parents. When God's called you to have, he really wants you to have healthy relationships. But the enemy's agenda is destruction. He has one agenda, and that's to destroy. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your kid's life. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy the church. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. The enemy's agenda is to destroy. It's destruction. And we have to recognize that if we want to have healthy relationships, because that's what life is relationships with one another. And I just want to say this. The enemy does not play fair. You can't dabble with the enemy, my friend. And honestly, some of you need to shut the door, the windows to your house, to the enemy. Because he doesn't play fair. And his goal is destruction. That's his desire. And we just need to be reminded that Satan wants to destroy anything or anyone that glorifies God. Anything or anyone that glorifies God. It's time to get real about our relationships because Satan is real. Because Satan is real. It's time to get real about our relationships, amen? Look what Jesus said about in Matthew chapter 12, verses 25 through 26. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Wow. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will, look at these last three words, his kingdom stand? What did Jesus just say? Did he just tell us that Satan has a kingdom? Is that what he just said? Satan has a kingdom. And I assure you that Satan's kingdom is in order to bring destruction to your life and my life, to your marriage, to your family, to the church. That's Satan's desire. How many families have you and I? We have some wonderful people in here that have been delivered from addiction and have stories of victory. But if you could listen and hear all the stories of family destruction connected to drugs and alcohol and addiction. Why? Because Satan wants to destroy. That's what he wants to do in your life and in my life. His agenda is destruction. He has a kingdom. Satan is real. Jesus is real, yes. And he is victorious, yes. But friends, we sometimes open the door to the enemy. And he wants to destroy our lives. Satan and his kingdom have one agenda, and that's destruction. To destroy everything God has established through his kingdom, which has a king, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he wants to destroy that. Second thing that you need to know is the enemy's strategy. Again, the enemy's agenda is destruction. The enemy's strategy is division. He wants to divide. Because we just read what Jesus said up there in the book of Matthew, a divided kingdom cannot stand. The enemy's goal is division. He always wants to divide. He wants to divide a home. He wants to divide a husband and a wife. How does he cause destruction? He starts with division. He starts with division, my friend. Jesus said it himself. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. God takes two and makes one. Satan takes one and makes two. Can I say that again, please? I need to say that again. God takes two and makes one. Satan takes one and wants to make two because a divided kingdom cannot stand. And that's what he wants to do in your relationships. That's what he wants to do with your family. That's what he wants to do with your kids. That's what he wants to do. In every area that glorifies God, Satan wants to take one and make it two. And he wants to divide. Because he knows that if he can get a husband, he knows that if a husband and wife can get on the same page, they are very powerful for the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says if two on earth will agree, asking and praying for anything, it shall be done. That if he can get just two people, if God can just get two people agreeing and praying together, the Bible says it will happen. It will happen. But the enemy's agenda is destruction. We're talking about relationships. But his strategy is division. He does it by dividing. He wants to divide. He wants to divide your home. He wants to divide your family. He wants to divide churches. I've seen it happen over and over and over and over again. Because that's what he does. It's destruction. How many of you want to have healthy relationships that represent God's kingdom? Amen. The word devil actually means this. I'm going to give you false accuser, slanderer. I learned a new word this last week. You ever like, sometimes I feel like I'm too old to learn new words. But I learned a new word, calumniator. That's another meaning of someone that divides, and that's another description given to the enemy. And so I just added something to it. A calumniator is also a terminator. Terminates. Right. Another one, another definition of the devil is backbiter. Another one is enemy. And the last is this. Y'all can see it up there on the screen. One who does what? Separates. The enemy separates. Jonathan, why don't you come up? I used Timothy in the first service. Jonathan, come up. You don't have any holes in your jeans. Well, Timothy had holes all in his jeans, and I'm like, you sit right over here. Timothy had holes all in his jeans, man. I'm like, dude, we'll take up an offering for you if we need to. And you got, but because it's very possible. Why did I bring them up here? Because it's very possible to be at the same table with somebody, but not to be together at the table. It's very possible to sit at the same table with others, but yet not be together at the table. You're sitting around the table with them, but you're not together at the table with them. Because that's where the enemy begins to start to divide. Because his agenda is destruction. Because here is where he begins to divide. He divides in that place of those that you love the greatest because it hurts the most. Because that's the enemy's tactic in your life and in my life. And we can be sitting at the same table like I am with Jonathan. My brother here. And we're shaking hands. But are we really together in our heart? Are we really together in our heart? Together at the table. Because what the enemy wants to do is then divide. And we may be sitting at the same table, but we're not together at the table. The enemy's goal is to separate. Mark 3:25. You can stay there if you like it. You look good. Mark 3:25 says this, a home filled with strife and division. Everybody looking at the screen? A home filled with strife and division destroys itself. Because we all know as believers, those that are believed, that are children of God, we all know this, is that Satan has been defeated by Jesus Christ, right? He has been disarmed at the cross. And the only way Satan can defeat, the only way he can defeat you is through deception and for you to embrace a lie. And then what happens is he begins to cause division. What does he do? Division in a marriage, division in our kids, with our kids, division in a church. He just brings division. Division, 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 division. We're sitting around the same table, but our hearts are not together. Go ahead, Stacy. Yep, thank you. Because that's his agenda, and that's his strategy. But what is his tactic? How does he do that? How does the enemy, how does he cause destruction? How does he... We know his strategy is division. How does he divide us, okay? This is his tactic. Those little offenses. those little offenses in our life where we get offended. He uses offense to divide. And sometimes it's just those little offenses that causes division. I know this is a different type of message. Got a different table up here, sitting up here at the table. But so many times, how can we be sitting at the table with someone but not together with them? It starts with an offense. And at one point, we're sitting here together, and then a little offense happens. And then, well, yeah, we don't take care of that offense. And all of a sudden, it comes further. We get further apart because of the little offenses. The Bible says that it's the little foxes that do what? Spoil the vine. It's the little things. And we allow little offenses in our life to bring division in our life. Because then the enemy can bring destruction. Because Jesus said a divided house cannot stand. And we get offended at every little thing. If I could just have your attention for just a few more minutes. It's very possible that it seems that you are easily unhappy all the time because you are easily offended. Can I please say that again? It could be that you are easily unhappy all the time because you are easily offended. Look at your neighbor and say, yikes. Yikes. Offenses will come. It's what you do with them after they come. Well, our enemy is very strategic. It happens one offense at a time that we don't resolve. And it builds up, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds. And the whole time the enemy's behind the scenes, very patient, causing offense, offense, offense. And then the division becomes wider and wider and wider. And then soon it becomes destruction. Because we haven't taken care of the offense in our heart. And then we begin to justify our offense. Well, it's okay for me to feel this way. It's not okay for you to stay offended. Offenses come, but it's not okay for you to stay that way. It's not okay for you to live in that place of offense. Am I saying this very quiet and gentle? Good. Good, thank you. It's not okay for you to stay offended. I'm going to be really direct with you. It's not okay for you to carry offense around and justify that offense. Because it's dividing. And then all of a sudden, what was one time healthy and built comes tumbling down. Because we have let a fence come in and stay, and it causes destruction in our life. I'm so thankful that God can rebuild afterwards. He can. There's still hope. But my friend, if you don't have to go through that, why go through it? Why go through it? Can I read a couple of scriptures to you? You're doing a great job, by the way. Yeah, I mean, man, you look good. Satan divides one offense at a time, building up to destruction in our relationships. Have you ever known somebody to be really close at one time? And then now they don't even want to be in the same room with one another? How did it get to that place? Offenses. Division. We divide. That's God takes two and makes one. Satan takes one and makes two. Matthew chapter 5, 23 through 26. Jesus is talking again here in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone is having something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Why is he saying that? Because at this point, here in this point in history, you know, their sacrifice they were offering is a form of worship. It's worship. And what is he saying is that if I don't have a relationship with one another right, it affects my worship to God. If you can hear anything that I say, please hear me. Please hear me. It's not just you and God. It's not just you and God. By God's design, it's not just you and God. We're called to live out this life through relationships, healthy relationships with one another, not just with Him, but with one another. And if everywhere you go, you have a problem with relationships, please hear your pastor who loves you. If everywhere you go, you have a problem with relationships. If everywhere you go, did you know everywhere you go, you go? This is a word from the Lord right here. You can change relationships, but if you don't change you, you'll damage that relationship too. Whew, that was heavy. You can change relationships, but if you don't change you, you'll damage that relationship too. Glory to God, man. I really feel like I'm preaching about 99% better than you're amening right now. I know this is heavy. I know it is. But if we're going to have healthy relationships, God wants us to have healthy relationships. He really does. He really does. He goes on to say in the scripture, when you are on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you will be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. Wow. Don't be a prisoner to your offense. We've got one more passage of scripture here. Come on, real quick, ask your neighbor if they're doing okay. I share this because I want you to have healthy relationships. Everywhere you go, you go. And here's where it starts, okay? I know it starts, we need to have a healthy relationship with God. But you know, it's pretty impossible to have a healthy relationship with others if you don't have a healthy relationship with you. Hello. Because you live life from the inside out. And if you don't have a healthy relationship with you, how can you have a healthy relationship with others? You start with you. Wow, this is heavy. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, this is heavy. Heavy, heavy. You start with you. Come on, let me ask you real quick. Is it possible that if God loves you, that you need to love you? Is it possible that if God loves you, the way He created you, you need to love you the way He created you? Man, I'm telling you, this stuff will set you free. Help you enjoy relationships. Now again, it's not always without conflict, But healthy conflict leads to healthy relationships. But if in every area of your life there's missiles and broken relationships, wow, I am saying a lot more to you guys. You guys must pray more than the first service. Okay. You're going to need to write this down. Because I'm not smart enough for this, okay? This is the Holy Spirit. If all around you is broken relationships, it might be because something in here is broken. It needs to be fixed. If all around you is broken relationships, it might be because something in here is broken. It needs to be fixed. If you can't get along with anybody, it's because you can't get along with yourself. Man, it's heavy stuff for Sunday morning, ain't it? But I sure want you to be free. I want you to enjoy life, enjoy relationships, enjoy church. Listen, if you're not having fun here, you need to find a church you can have fun. Sorry. Serious. Man, if you don't like me, first of all, I don't understand why, but you need to find a pastor you like, because you won't receive from a pastor you don't like. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Remember, it's the little offenses that the enemy... Seven times, Peter said. He's trying to sound spiritual. No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus, he shares a parable then. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of the debtors was brought in who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of the debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. But be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from the heart. And here's what I want to ask you a question. Well, some of you might be saying, well, what does that mean? It means just what it says. God expects you to forgive. I'm just going to be straight with you, okay? Doesn't mean you, I said that in the first service, and I'll say it again right now. Now, I'm putting it this way because it's easily understood. It sounds a little bit, it's harsh, but if someone molests your kids, it doesn't mean you need to trust the person that molested them. okay? You know, that's pretty understandable, right? You need to forgive because it builds, it builds, it builds. Forgiveness is for you, all right? Forgiveness is for you. But you need, what do you need to do? You need to forgive. You need to forgive. The little offenses, even the little offenses, the things that have you offended, you need to forgive. Because the enemy is using those little offenses to bring division, and then eventually he brings destruction. And you need to walk in forgiveness, my friend, because your heavenly Father has forgiven you. He has forgiven you. And he wants you to forgive those that have hurt you. He wants you to forgive them. So it doesn't, because eventually, my friends, it will divide and it will bring destruction in your life. And here's what I need to ask you this real quick. Are you together at the table, whatever table you're called, you're sitting around now? Thank you, buddy. Thank you. You can stand with me. I need to ask you and ask you at home, are you together at the table? Not just sitting at the table, but are you together there at the table? I just want to ask you that question. And that's something, this is between you and God right now. Or are there offenses in your heart that you've been carrying? It could be with your spouse. It could be with your kids, you know. It could be with a coworker that you've worked with. Whoever it might be. It could be your pastor. You know, could be somebody else that used to be your pastor. You know, I'm just telling you, you need to, for you, you need to get that right. You need to ask forgiveness, or if you need to forgiveness, or you need to forgive them, you need to release them, let go of that offense. It could be a parent that hurts you. You need to let that go, my friend. Because Satan is very strategic, and it's the little things that he does. He brings in, and his goal is destruction. He can't. Satan cannot reach in your heart and rob your salvation from you, but he can certainly keep you from God's full plan on this earth if you let him. If you let him, he can't rob you of your salvation, but he can bring you to a place to where you're so bitter and you're so standoffish and because you don't trust anybody and you won't dive into relationships, you won't be vulnerable again because you've been hurt. It'll keep you from the destiny that God has for you. You have to be willing to dive into the relationships that God has around you and trust people again and love people again. And please hear me, because I'm not trying to make light of your hurts at all. But I'm going to say something. All right, because I'm your pastor and I love you. You need to get over yourself. You need to get over yourself. Part of the problem may be you're thinking too much about yourself. And you get over yourself. Oh, I love you so much. And I want you free. I want you enjoying relationships. Doesn't mean everything's perfect, but I want you enjoying those things. Enjoy life. Enjoy your blood family. Enjoy your church family. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. But how does the enemy stop it? Little offenses, little, little by 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 little. You know, every head bowed, nobody looking around. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this message, Lord. I know it's heavy. It was heavy, God. Heavy message. But it's still true. And God, we need to recognize that the enemy wants to destroy our relationships. He's good at it. He really is. He really is. But Jesus is better. He's given us a way to healing in our relationships. He's given us a way to enjoy our relationships. Jesus has given us a way to enjoy marriage. He's given us a way to enjoy the people we work with, too. the people that work for us if we have a business. He's given us a way to enjoy those things. He's given us a way to enjoy our neighbor, our parents, our kids, our church family. He's given us a way to enjoy these things. And Satan, from the very beginning, has been trying to divide so that he can bring destruction. And so help us to recognize that. Help us to recognize that. And I pray that your Holy Spirit here right now will draw every person to Jesus Christ. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one that helps us. He's the one that helps us forgive, because he forgave us. We can forgive others. He is the one that came to give us a new life and freedom. But yet the enemy wants to entangle us in this web of offenses and all the strife and he wants to entangle us in that web of just being unhappy. He wants to entangle us in the web of conflict without resolution. And he wants to entangle us in that place of offense to where we're just offended all the time and we're mad at everybody. We don't trust people. But because Jesus laid down his life, we can lay down our life. And we can forgive. And we can walk in love. Walk in love. So I pray that your Holy Spirit right now would speak to every person in this room, every person listening to our live stream. Because God, you want us to have healthy relationships. Every head bowed. I want to honor everybody in this room and respect everyone in this room. And if you'll just be honest right now and say, Ken, there's been some unhealthy relationships in my life. Why don't you lift your hand? Thank you, thank you. It's just hands going up all over the place. Thank you so much. Just one more thing I want to ask you. Ken, you'll say, Ken, I've really been offended at someone. Won't you lift your hand? Anybody here? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone? Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your honesty back there. Thank you very much. Those of you at home, the Holy Spirit sees it. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your honesty. All right. Anyone else? I'm going to give it just a second. Thank you so much for your honesty. Thank you so much again. Anyone else? This is strange. I'm going to say one more thing. I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to say it this way. Ken, I really don't know what it is to have healthy relationships, but I want to. Is there anybody here? You just lift your hand. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. Wow. It was more than I expected on that. Sometimes we don't know, even in so much unhealthy relationships, that we don't know what health looks like. We don't know what enjoying relationships looks like. I mean, is it possible that God wants us to enjoy marriage? That he wants us to enjoy our kids, enjoy our church, enjoy our job? Is it possible? Yes. I want to do something in this service too. And by the way, those of you at home, you can stay if you like. Well, I want to say thank you for joining us at home. And God bless you. And if you need prayer, please contact the church. And you can go to our website, encounterpeople.tv, and we will help you. We want to pray with you if you need prayer. In fact, you go to our website, there's a place that comes up that that you can have enter a prayer request there. And we'll pray for you. We'll contact you if you'd like us to. I love you. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today. Hope you have a great Sunday.